Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 29th of June, recording at 8:50 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first the highlights. I've got to start with oil. Yesterday's action, that big downside dynamic failed break above the $60 level. Not an unpredictable move, but dynamic of that nature is a sell signal. The rule of thumb from the chart seminar on dynamics of that type is back the dynamic in the short term until or it is countermanded. In other words, until you see either the previous high before that dynamic taken out or the market moves down to a lower level, which I expect is what we're going to see, and then you eventually get an upside dynamic checking that overall decline. Now, the other highlight is, and you will have heard these points from Owen, the other highlight in yesterday's audio, the other highlight is that stock markets got a bullish shot in the arm yesterday from the weak oil price, and that followed through, well, not all that much in Asia, mixed, but it did follow through in Europe, but not in the USA, although the USA action here a little before the close is not down so much as to alarm investors, I suspect, but we haven't seen the bullish follow through, and that's pretty much it. So let me go back and start with the stock market cycle. Now, overall, you know, I maintain that these are dangerous times in here, or I'll put it this way, less friendly for investors than certainly what we experienced from that March 2003 through February 2005. And so far this year from Wall Street, we have seen downward dynamics off a high in January. Then we've seen a move back up in March, I think moving just above those highs, although not on the NASDAQ. Then more downward dynamics. And then we saw the rally from the mid-April lows carrying back up, retesting highs for the S&P. And not quite on the Dow, and far from it on the NASDAQ, and then getting the downward dynamics lost Thursday and Friday. Those are really quite bearish signals, and I wouldn't try to rationalize that technical action. I don't want to rationalize any technical action, but I think investors are going to be inclined to do just that, especially as it goes against what the crowd was saying Wall Street and other stock markets might do over the short to medium term. And of course, we all have most of us have a bullish bias anyway. And I try to resist that. My job really is to call it as I see it. And I saw that as a negative signal, suggesting that Wall Street at least would go back and retest those April lows and probably go through them. Now, what might offset that forecast, or what would create a cushion for the US and therefore other stock markets? Well, weaker oil prices, and I do expect weaker oil prices. Also, steady bond markets would provide something of a cushion, as they certainly have done in recent weeks. Conversely, weaker bond prices, which I would not be at all surprised to see, we get the U.S. interest rate hike tomorrow, and I would be awfully surprised if Greenspan did anything other than stick with his measured rates of increases here. I don't think we're going to get any statement from him suggesting that it's all about to end. If anything, if he says anything that raises an eyebrow or two, I think it would be warning of further interest rates. And you've got a hint of that from, two admittedly ex-Fed governors, but pretty savvy chaps both, in that item from Bloomberg that I posted on the website here today. So again, I do think this is a bearish environment in here. for most stock markets. Now, how bearish? Of course, if Wall Street continues to range sideways, then we will see markets that arguably have better valuations than Wall Street, and that's pretty well everything. Will do a bit better overall. If I'm totally wrong and Wall Street rallies back up to the highs and through them, then we'll see some stock markets do spectacularly well, and I would expect one of my big favorites, India, to be right among the leaders. But right now, as I say, to me, India looks well. I was going to say generously valued. That's not true. The valuations are quite reasonable on India, but on the chart action, and given my views on Wall Street, I'd be pleasantly surprised if India moved a lot higher here in the short term, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if we saw it come back a bit. Not so much, I don't think, well, I hope, not so much I hope that I'll wish that I'd sold out of the position, but I think that a test of the April lows or more by Wall Street, which I expect, could easily and drag down, I think it would drag down most other stock markets, but we'll see. We'll see what happens in here. Europe's action has been better than Wall Street. It didn't come off as sharply as Wall Street. Well, maybe some of the markets did, notably the Italian MIB index, which is my biggest short, or maybe the Nasdaq's the biggest short. I'm not sure, but they're certainly the largest two short positions that I have. And again, we would need to see some downside follow through by Wall Street to worry these European markets. And looks like we're going to close out the day closer to the lows than the highs on Wall Street, but I'll come back to that before I finish. Try to remember to do that at any rate. Government bonds, interesting day. The US bonds pushed up to 119.01. They liked a report that came out that said that the US oil figures, inventories rather, were higher than had been generally forecast, but then they lost that rally and the market's running into resistance up here and looks vulnerable in my view. But I've been saying that for a long time, and I'm getting to be a little bit like the boy who called wolf in here, but I am unrepentant. I think these are an accident waiting to happen, as I said today in the comment. But we may well need to be very patient. And then I did say early on in this game that I thought the topping out process would be quite lengthy, not least because of the preoccupation with deflationary pressures. But getting back to the Fed, the key issue here is whether the Fed is treating the bond market as an indicator that the economy is going to be soft, or whether it is going to conclude that no, there are special factors which have caused the bond market to be so strong, and therefore they will not be curtailing their raising of short-term interest rates on the basis that the bond market is a good leading indicator for the economy. And my hunch is, I think it was it Fed Governor Perry, who in that report had said that the strength of the bond market's a good excuse for the Fed to raise interest rates more rather than less. Okay, I would read that report if you're at all interested in this subject. Moving on to the US dollar, we had the dollar index nudge up to its highest level for the year, so it was sort of looking like a little mini breakout from the chart pattern, but it couldn't hold it and pulled back, but it's still quite near the highs for the year overall. And again, I have to say that it is still too soon to say that this rally is over, but there is some not insignificant technical resistance here at that 90 level. So the question really is, are we getting a consolidation just below the 90 level on the dollar index, where we have psychological and lateral resistance. Are we getting a consolidation, in other words, below that level prior to another step on the upside? Well, we'll soon know from the charts. Or the other question is it a distribution up here at these levels in which the dollar has run into a ceiling and will fall back before much longer? I'm not going to try to prejudge that one. Just wait as a very, very interested observer. And I can think of lots of reasons why the dollar might do a little better and challenge or move above that resistance. So maybe I'd give that, if I were a betting man, I'd give that a 55-45 chance of breaking up. So slightly more likely to break up than not. And I have to have a reason for that. Well, it has been trending up, and I don't see any evidence that that's over. It's not all that inconsistent, and a trend that's consistent and in motion, I assume, is still in motion, so it can go a little bit higher. Also, of course, we do have the Fed interest rate hikes, and if we get a reassessment on that, that may well cause rates to go up higher than most people have been forecasting, and that makes the dollar a little bit more attractive. Or if you find that an unpalatable answer, it makes the dollar a little bit more expensive to short. Now, here's an interesting thought that Owen and I were talking about the other day, and we noticed that the yen is quite soft now. A number of currencies have firmed up against Japanese yen. Remember all those people who told you that the yen was going to, well, the dollar was going to fall down to the 100 yen level, and on its way down to 90 and 80 and 70. You will, no doubt, if you follow currencies, you will have heard many of those forecasts. Fortunately, they weren't coming from this service. And what we see now on the charts for the yen is general overall weakness, which prompted me to think, well, you know, this is a world that really, really does need a carry trade. And if the dollar interest rates are going up, and we know darn well that they are going up, it's just a question of how much further the dollar interest rates are going up. But if we're talking about 3.25 tomorrow and more on offer, the dollar carry trade is becoming more expensive, both in terms of the cost of that interest rate and, of course, especially because of the upward trend that we have been seeing for the US dollar. Now, therefore, go back to my point that the world needs needs a carry trade here to finance all the big speculation in whether it's in treasury bonds or commodity markets or stock markets or houses. And what's the next best bet? Well, you might say, how about the euro? And that would be a possibility, but even shucks, even the euro. What's the euro yield? 2%? And the, I beg your pardon, no, it must be 3%? Gosh, I better check on that. I'm not sure. It's late in the day. That'll be my excuse. But at any rate, it does have a yield. And while everybody's been saying that the ECB should lower interest rates by at least 50 basis points, so we then get the odd governor coming out and saying, well, there's absolutely no reason to do that because that won't help the economy, and words to that effect. So to wrap up this point, the yen, which is beginning to weaken on the charts, has no yield, is a candidate, and of course it has been a major carry trade currency before, if you go back a few years, before the dollar became the fall guy in currency markets. So I'll come back to that theme and maybe illustrate it with some charts before very long. And what else can I tell you in here? Well, if that does happen, if we do get not the yen carry trade issue, but if we do get the dollar firmer in here, higher interest rates, that is, of course, a headwind for precious metals. And myself and others have been saying how the dollar has been I beg your pardon, how gold has been holding up extremely well this month in the face of that rising dollar. I wouldn't want to assume that we've had a massive uncoupling here. Strong dollar is a stiff headwind for gold. My point is that if gold, beg your pardon, if the dollar had not rallied this month, that we would have seen a much bigger rally in the price of gold and other precious metals, and some precious metals haven't rallied at all. So the gold story is interesting, and gold has risen in the other reserve currencies as well, as you know. But bottom line, the dollar is always going to be the biggest influence among currencies by in terms of gold by far. And gold sort of messing around in here, but it hasn't come off that much. Did dip down earlier today, 434, but then was pushed back up to high of 438.25 and closing in firm here up on the day, 437. And that's the last after-hours trade. This thing trades right around the clock, as you are probably aware. Let me wrap up on that U.S. stock market action. Closed soft, but only down 31 on the Dow and only 172 on the S&P and only a point on the Nasdaq. So that won't terrify any investors in Asia, Europe, or the U.S. But we did not get bullish upside follow through. But to say it wasn't such a sell-off as to alarm, let alone countermand the small upward dynamic that we saw yesterday on Wall Street. Europe could maybe be a little softer as Wall Street was higher when Europe closed, but I don't think it's going to have a big impact on sentiment overall. People will concentrate instead on that oil price and perhaps wait to see what the Fed actually does. Now, well, that's pretty well a foregone conclusion. What else can I mention in here? I did roll ahead, as I said I would, my platinum and silver positions. Silver would have gone out at a loss because that had fallen in the last few days. I haven't looked at those prices yet, but having told you I was going to do that before the contracts expired, I will get the data on that tomorrow. On for both the say the silver and also the platinum. Platinum also fell back a bit, so that not sure whether that's a showing a small profit or a small loss, but I will continue to run those, but I'll have to be patient if that dollar does rally further. And that's pretty much it. Did I mention oil follow through on the downside, down another dollar in here today. Last trading after hours, 57.18, and I think we'll see that come off a little bit more. And that's it, folks. All the best.